Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody here. I missed you. I missed the last two Sundays. We were with took a group of 27 of us total, went to Columbia, to Rhema, Columbia, down there, and we had such a great time. It's good to see a couple of our drummer and our acoustic guitar player here tonight. We're on that trip, so I'm glad they're awake. Sometimes you go on these trips, you come back, you're like, oh, even though Bogota is the same time zone we are, so it wasn't, but we flew them. I don't know, they still call that the red eye. We left at midnight and got to the airport at 6 in the morning in Dallas, so it was quite the trip. But we had some outstanding times of ministry. Got to minister in some public schools, got to minister in some Christian schools. And I think probably one of the highlights for everybody was on the Saturday night before we came home. So the second Saturday we were there, we went to a church that, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was a nightclub or something like that. It was all painted black and had fluorescent paint all over the walls and everything like that. And the pastor had his hair colored fluorescent blue. And so in hearing his story, 5.5 years ago, the Lord told him, they had 60 people 5.5 years ago at their church. And the Lord told him, said, you're not going to reach these people with this. He said, we were suit and tie. Everything in here was painted white. It was just real, you know, just real, real, you know, conservative looking. And he said, the Lord told him, he said, you're not going to reach the people. He said, besides, that's not who you really are anyway. And so he said the people left on Sunday, or on Saturday, came back a week later, and it was all painted up like this. And they just do things. They love the Lord, I'm telling you that, but it's one of the friendliest churches I've ever been in my life. But in 5.5 years, they've gone from 60 members to over 700 in 5 different locations, reaching people. We did some outreach before. We had the 3 services on Saturday night, back-to-back-to-back services. And we went out to a local shopping area there, a very crowded shopping area, with a sign that advertised free hugs. Big old sign, free hugs. And I found out on our trip we had some professional huggers. But they just went, you would amaze how many people wanted a hug. We hugged and talked, got to pray with several of them. But it was a lot of fun, and the team did a great job while we were there. We saw people get saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit about every service, so that was exciting for us to see that. All right, I want to pick up the first part of the month. I started a series called 4 Aspects of Faith, and I want to pick up with that tonight. Just to review, we just covered point one, and that is 4 places in the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we talked about how that it's not just us having a formula of faith. This is our lifestyle. We live by faith. We're not just having faith events. We're living by faith. And it comes out of our relationship with the Father God. And we ended with there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk. We live by faith, not by sight. I thought Pastor Craig did an outstanding job today, this morning, talking about, even though you can live by faith, it doesn't mean you won't face the lion's den sometime. The fiery furnace. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. How many of you, without even having to believe God, you've proven that? Hallelujah. You know, everybody, you know, people talk about, well, I'm believing for the return. Well, the Bible says, with persecution. You don't have to believe for the persecution. It's all right, it'll come. But faith is God's avenue for us to receive what grace has provided. And it is something that we live by. In fact, if we wait to get faith when the troubles come in life, when life happens, if you will, then we're too late. We're behind the times. Faith is, as Old World Webster's Dictionary said, is unquestioning belief. Unquestioning belief. So, I mean, just we just you know, think about it for ourselves. If we're asking how God or why God or when God, how many of you know those are questions? Now, sometimes, you know, it's good to go to the Word and answer the how, the why, the when, the what, and the, you know, all those things. It's good to answer those questions, but once you see it in the Word of God, then there's no more question about it. God said it. That really settles it. Now, it'll settle it in our life when we believe it, when we stop questioning. You know, I talk to people all the time, and, you know, I'm in my 45th year of ministry, and big part of that in the local church, and so been on three different pastoral staffs for my home church for 9 years right after I graduated from school here, and then went 6.5 years some in Kentucky, and then we've been here on staff. This is our 17th year being on staff at the, as far as associate pastor of the church. So how many of you know you get a chance to talk to a lot of people in that time? And a lot of people have questions, and it's not, now that, you know, when I say questions, I'm not saying questions are evil, but when it gets to where your questions are greater than your faith, then you're going to run yourself into trouble. But you know, people believe in God for things, and then it's like, well, when God? I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, you don't necessarily have to understand. It's not up to us to tell God the how, the when, the why, and the where. That's His part. Our part's just to believe, thinking, thank God. You know, when we pray, the Bible says words to give thanks to God. Give thanks to Him. Why? He's faithful. We just sang, you know, sometimes we sing songs, I know I do, sometimes I'm not even thinking about what I'm singing, but some of these songs, you know, especially the Bible-based ones, they're really encouraging, and our God is big enough, bigger than anything in our life. God is, and His Word is, glory to God. So the first aspect there is that the just are those who are declared right, who are the righteousness of God in Christ, the just, shall live by faith. Our second aspect that we want to talk about tonight is without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I don't know why I had never done it before, but just I was looking at my notes and I thought, I wonder what that word please there really kind of means. Because we'll read it here in Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. And then he talked about here, we'll read in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn over there, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read that. But what does it mean to please God? And I found out one of the original roots of that word that's translated please in the English Bible is the word to agree or to be agreeable. Isn't that what faith is, just agreeing with God? I agree with God. You know, I'm thinking of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It said, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Belief unto righteousness. Well, what does that mean? When we believe what God said, that puts us in the right place with God. That's what righteousness is being in the right place. It also means to agree with God. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, then, confession is made unto salvation. So, here in Hebrews 11, let's read this. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. Then I don't think they have it from the is that the Weymouth or is that the Williams? I can't remember. I don't think they have the second one, but if they do, that's great. But Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, sometimes, especially when we get our, when it seems like Pastor Craig talked this morning about he loves it when the suddenlies happen. But, you know, there's another side of suddenly. Sometimes it seems like suddenly all H-E double toothpicks breaks loose. You know what I'm saying? Like, whoo, where'd that come from? And if we're trying to have an event of faith, yo, boy, we're we're behind it now. But he said, when we come to God, we're to believe that He is. He is what? He is the answer, or He is what we need. I believe that He is. I'm not questioning. Now, there's a time for the question, and that's where you go to His Word and say, okay, what does God's Word say? Questioning, what is God's will about this situation? Now, how many of you found out you didn't find your name specifically written in the Bible, unless you have one of those personalized Bibles? And my wife got me one here a few years ago for Christmas, and it has my name in it. It'll say, for instance, there in Ephesians chapter 1, that prayer puts my name Tad in there. But for the most part, our names, unless you have that, your name's not in the Bible. And, there's not, sometimes in the Word of God, now there's things that are said that are the will of God that we're all to do, but God's specifics about your plan and your part in His kingdom, it's not necessarily written out there for you to read. You got to spend time with Him, though. Spend time in His Word. How many of you know God's never going to lead us to do something that is contrary to His Word? The Spirit of God and the Word of God will agree. The Holy Spirit's the inspiration of the Word of God. And so when we come to God, it's great if we have already done the work necessary, if you will. You know, study to show yourselves approved of God. We've already done the work necessary to know that when we're coming to God, He is what we have need of. But there's a second aspect there that's so important with this. And remember, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And then He gives us a couple elements. I have to believe that He is. How many of you know when you believe that God is, that's pleasing to Him? He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides all of our needs. You know, sometimes the Christians, instead of El Shaddai, I think they think God is El Cheapo. And He's the Lord our provider, not the Lord the withholder. He is a rewarder of them. Notice that, of them that diligently seek Him. A rewarder. And so that aspect of those two things, when I come to God, I believe that He is my answer. I believe His Word tells me it belongs to me. And when I'm also believing that He's going to give me what I ask of Him. He's a rewarder. When I leave that place of prayer, then really Mark 11:24 comes into play really heavy there. I believe I received when I prayed. I went to Him in prayer. I leave that place believing I have received. Amen? I believe this is the Weymouth's New Testament that says, but where there is no faith, it is impossible to truly please Him. For the man who draws near to God must believe that there is a God and that He proves Himself a rewarder of those who earnestly try to find Him. I think one of the biggest lies ever told on God is that he's not a giver, that He's a withholder, that God is somehow stingy. How many of you believe that God gave Jesus for you? All right. Now, guys, I don't have this on my scriptures, but if you guys could find Romans chapter 8 for me, let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. So this is one of those, if one thing is true, then the second part has to be true also. So he says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Now, how many of you believe that God did not spare His Son Jesus, but that He did deliver Him up for us all, right? Or whatever I just said there, what the Bible says there. He delivered Him up for us all. Well, if that's true, then the second part of this scripture is just as true. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things what? All things Jesus came that we might have. The Bible calls us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He bought and paid for our salvation. We've sold that short. We haven't expanded that like it is. When God says we're saved, that means everything. It's the all-inclusive word of the gospel. Scofield said in his notes, it gathers into it all the redemptive acts. That Southern Baptist scholar said it even means deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. How many of you know the Southern Baptist believes in healing? That's something. Well, they believe in healing. I don't know if they, you know how we are as people. Glory to God. So when I come to God, I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. He's a giver. He always has been a giver. For God so loved the world, He did what? He gave. God's a giver. What purpose would God have in sending Jesus to redeem us from everything that hell had brought against us, to redeem us from all of that, and then withhold it from us? Jesus would have a right to say, "Hey, Father, I did it. I carried it out." Like I said, if our redemption was a cup, Jesus drank every drop of it. Every drop of it. There's not a drop left that needs to be done for us to be redeemed. And so why would God withhold that from us? He's not the withholder. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Glory to God. The life of God in us. And I'm doing my best to stay on my subject here because I can go off on a few things there. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 in the Amplified Classic says this: "But the man who has doubts, misgivings, and uneasy conscience about eating and then eats perhaps because of you, stands condemned before God because he's not true to his convictions and he does not act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful." So how many of you realize God's not pleased with sin? So if our actions aren't based on sin, that can't be pleasing to God. See, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so he says here, whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. And so it's so vitally important that we trust God, that we develop that trust in God. Now, here's the thing about faith. Faith, if you're going to live by faith, you have to make a decision that God is true and anything contrary to His word is a lie. Romans 3:4 says that. Let God be true. In fact, before that it says, what if some don't believe? Does that make the faith of God of none effect? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, I've mentioned it to you before. That includes me. I have to look at myself. If I'm believing, thinking, acting, speaking contrary to God's word, then I'm believing, thinking, acting, and speaking the lie. Because God's word is true. So I don't ever base my faith on my experience. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by what Tad's done. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now we can encourage one another to believe God by talking how God did something for us as we believed in. That's fine. But I'm talking about I cannot make my experience my doctrine. It's not my foundation. My faith is based on God's word, not my experience. Even good experiences. Amen. But especially, you know, the bad experience. And there's things, you know, sometimes things happen. Sometimes, you know, especially when it comes, I hope you understand me here, that I'm not, you know, putting anybody down here or anything. But, you know, when it comes to believing God for other people, there's challenges. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I can believe God for me 100%. I don't know what you're believing. You can say, you know, you might think somebody's believing. You don't know what they're believing. You don't know the battle they've been through. You don't know things that are happening. But I'm not going to, I'm not going to base my faith on what you experience. I hope you understand. I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting anybody else down. Amen? You know, I heard, I actually read this in a book that Oral Roberts was talking about, you know, because back in the great healing revival that took place in the late 40s up through the 1950s, somebody asked him one time, what would happen if you laid hands on somebody and they fell over dead right there? He said, I'd say next. He said, now why? He said, first of all, he said, I can't heal anybody. I'm not the healer. But what's he saying? What was he really saying? He said, I'm not basing my faith, what I'm doing, based on whether that person received it or not. Amen. All right. These things always go over real great sometimes, so it's all right. We're talking about living by faith. There's a couple men you might have heard of that have some great statements on pleasing God that I wanted to read tonight. Let's start first with a young minister who had fairly good success in evangelism by the name of Billy Graham. Any of you ever heard of Billy Graham? Some of you may not have. There's generations that don't know who he was. Great evangelist. He said, the whole purpose of our existence is to please God, not to please ourselves. Graham emphasized that prioritizing one's life for God should be the top priority over personal ambitions. He said this, God is not interested in our works as much as he is in our heart. A person who pleases God is one who loves him with all their heart, soul, and mind. In his teachings, he talked about having an intimate relationship with God, that matters more than having outward deeds. He said this, the greatest thing that can be said about a man or woman is that they please God. He felt that that was the highest goal of a person's life, would be pleasing to God. Another minister that had a fair amount of success by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin said this, faith pleases God more than anything else, and doubt displeases God more than anything else. You know, just naturally think about it. You know, I talked about, as a parent, I think the most displeasing thing would be for a child to doubt whether or not you'd help them. You know, you almost want to end their life for even asking that. You know, but I mean, here you have sacrificed all that you have done. Some of us are talking, you know, this grandparenting thing is a wonderful time of life. Amen? But you know, it's when children, how many of you have had children or you were a child? Let me see your hands. How many of you know there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into raising children? A lot of sacrifice. Doing it right. I'm talking about doing it right. Now, you know, I'm not, I apologize for any of you in here that you were mistreated as a child. Okay? Don't want to make light of that, but I got a word from the Lord for you. Get over it. You're in Christ. All right? But, and I say that in love, really. I mean, you really need to get over it. Because you're letting your past rule your life, and you don't want to do that. Don't let something the devil inspired be the primary focus of your life. Let something God did. Hallelujah. But God. But God. We could all say that. Yeah, this, but God. But God. But you know, I can think, just for me, having to have one of one of our children to say to us, well, you know, I know you're able to help me, but I just don't know if you will. I just, you know, I doubt if you will. That would be displeasing, wouldn't it? Faith, Brother Hagin emphasized, faith is the key to living a life that pleases God. He said this, if you want to walk in God's perfect will, you must be willing to put aside your own plans, desires, and ambitions to follow Him. Pleasing. Pleasing. You know, I think a big thing, one of the reasons that it's so, that living a selfless life is so important is because you have to trust God to live selflessly. In other words, not selfishly, but it's not about me. One of the things here several years ago that God started in, especially, this is the Bible that I think I started it in, He started pointing out so many scriptures throughout the Word of God where, especially in the New Testament, where something was said, sometimes it was even Jesus would say it, sometimes it was others, where, and I just wrote the phrase next to it, it's not about me. It's not about me. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, what's Paul saying? It's not about me. It's about God. And living a not about me life is so important. That's pleasing to God. Now, you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to live by faith. You know, if you study blood covenant ceremonies, and if you look back there, and I believe it's 1 Samuel 18, right after David had defeated Goliath, you know, and had come back, Jonathan makes a covenant with David. And they're standing there, and Jonathan takes all of his armor off and hands it to David. There's an exchange taking place here. But in the moment that Jonathan takes his armor off and hands it to David, Jonathan is unprotected. The only thing he has, he can only trust in the mutual love that he and David have for one another for his protection. And so when we live selflessly, in other words, it's not about me, we are leaving ourselves, the only protection we have is God. And that's pleasing to God. Amen. Brother Hagin also said this, we please God, now listen to this, when we take Him at His word and act accordingly without wavering in doubt or fear. When we take Him at His word, what's your word say about it, God? What's the word say about it? That's it. That's my final authority on it. That's what pleases Him. Glory to God. Let me introduce point number three. I'm going to pick this up this next month here. I believe this is the last service of March of 2025. Messing with all of us charismatics theology. We thought Jesus would be back by now for sure. So number one, the just shall live by faith. Number two, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Number three, these are just simple aspects of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I know that, again, let's talk about experience. Sometimes, you know, there's a pretty popular song, and I understand what it's saying, but in a sense, you know, sometimes we sing songs, and I don't know how scriptural they are sometimes. I hate it. I was a worship leader, so I'm not basing my faith on any experience. Well, I believe God because I prayed one time and He heard and He answered. And that's why I trust Him. Some of you know what I just said there, but some of you don't get it. But I trust Him because His word says it. I have to strip all that other away and say, God, Your word said it. That's it. You said it in Your word. That's it. But that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love how Pastor Craig, he quotes his grandfather. He said, and hearing. Brother Hagin could repeat the same word more times than anybody, I think, in the history of mankind. Just over and over and over and over, and just say it and say it and say it and say it. Why? Making the point. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not just, you know, that's Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word there is the rhema of God. Now, it's your choice whether or not when you hear the word that you receive a deposit of faith or not. How many of you know every time I hear the word, I have to make a decision? I believe it or I don't. I accept that as the truth of God or I don't. Now, I've had people tell me, well, not everybody can believe the word like you do. That's a lie. Because that would make God a respecter of persons. God wouldn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God except for you. No, he said that for all of us. So the decision has to be made on our part that, and really ahead of time. You know, I don't go and read the word and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to believe that or not. Let me see. No, I have to go into the, when I read the word of God, when I hear the word, I'm going to believe what the word says. Even if I, at the moment, disagree with it, I have to change. God's not going to. Right? I've got to make the change. So, you know, when you read something, and sometimes, you know, we overcomplicate things, but when you read something like, believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, he didn't say they might. He said they would. In his name. And so, like Brother Robert said, I'd just say next. Because I'm told to lay hands on them. I don't have to heal anybody. I don't have anything in and of myself, but I thank God I've got something in me that I got the life of God in me. Glory to God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that revelation that comes from God. We'll pick up in number three next time. I want to finish this series. I got, like I said, I have four aspects. I want to finish this out sometime as we have opportunity. But you know, Thomas made a decision. He said, I will not believe unless I see. Jesus came and accommodated him, but then he said, what did he say to him? He said, Thomas, don't be faithless, be believing. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Have any of you, did Jesus appear to any of you and show you the holes in his hands? And did you stick your hand in his side and see that was him? No. Guess what? You're blessed because you believe it. Amen? So in living by faith, in pleasing God, I must decide that God's word is true so that when I hear God's word, I receive faith from it. In God's word, in every word of God, is the faith that you need and I need. It's in it. It's part of its very being. When God says something, it carries with it his integrity. And how many of you know integrity causes belief? There are faith deposits in every word of God. And if I want to have that, then I've got to make a decision ahead of time. I'm going to believe God no matter what it says. And if I have to change, I'm going to change. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Time flies when you're in the Word of God like this. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you tonight. Father, I thank you for the healing power of God working in this place right now. Thank you, Father God. No sickness, no disease, no virus, no infection can stand in our presence because of what Jesus has done. We've got the life of God in us. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wasn't even thinking that, so I don't know. Just grab hold of that for yourself. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, maybe you don't know Jesus tonight. Maybe you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've walked with him but have not really been living for the Lord. You want to you want to have someone pray with you tonight. Maybe you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues like they did in the Bible days. I tell you, I encourage you, you need that power in your life. Amen. Somebody said, do I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues to go to heaven? No, but you do to go to Walmart. So you might as well get it. It's available to you. Amen. But if you need prayer for any reason, gentlemen, come down to these gentlemen over here. Ladies, come down to these ladies over here. All right. And we'll see you on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you. Have a great one. Don't forget, tomorrow is International School Prayer. No, it's not till next week. My bad, because tomorrow's the 31st. 30 days have September, April, May, and November. Okay, I got it. I thought I did, but I don't. It's next week. All right, God bless you. Have a great one. Amen.